Well, it's PWSND Sunday. It is Presbyterian World Service and Development. And as I was thinking about this and thinking about how it connected to the text that we have for this Sunday, one of the things that struck me was this whole question that the sermon title comes from is, are we different? And how? Well, one of the things I've noticed as I've gotten older is that I tend to answer questions with questions. And I realize it's because when I was younger, I knew all the answers, so why would I bother asking questions anyway? And now I realize that, no, I don't know quite as much as I thought. Maybe more than I think some days, but certainly not as much as I thought back then. And the question that I ask coming out of that question is different from what? Are we different from other people? Or is the question, are we different from our older selves, our other selves? What sets us apart, if anything? Well, one of the things that sets us apart as we are here in this room is we are connected to a larger group, a number of larger groups, and all of us are. I mean, nobody has all of their communities in one place. I don't think it's possible. You have families, you have friends, you have former workers or co-workers or current co-workers or whatever it might be. You've got all these things. But one of the things that we are connected with that we sometimes we don't forget, but we just let slip, is that we're connected to a denomination. And there are lots of reasons for denominations. They have some drawbacks, of course, but on the whole, I think they're an excellent idea. And one of the things being part of a denomination allows us to do is to do more than we can ourselves. And it only makes sense. There's something about groups together and what they can produce that is different than individuals. And if we want to think about it sort of in a simple way, if each of us has a dollar that we can give to a worthy cause, that's a good thing. If we pool all of our dollars together, it's quite possible that we'll be able to do more than those individual dollars can one at a time. It only makes sense. If we want to buy food for people who are hungry, my dollar will get so much. But if I have $100, it won't get 100 times my dollar. It'll get more than that because we can buy larger quantities. There's all these things. These all make perfect sense to all of us. This is hardly new. But being part of a denomination is the same sort of thing. The people of St. Mark's individually do good things on a regular basis. Congregation does good things on a regular basis, but when we give into Presbyterian Sharing or PWSND, we see that we are pooling our resources with a much larger group and can do even more than we would otherwise. But why? Why would we do any of this at all? It's my money. I need it. I need more than I have, apparently. That's how most of us feel. I need more time than I have. I need more resources than I have because that seems to be part of the human condition, that we don't seem to have as much as we need or as much as we want. So why would we do any of these things? Because we're different. But how? Well, when we look at Luke's record of Jesus talking to people, we see some very peculiar differences. Jesus tells his followers then and is telling us now to do some things that are actually kind of strange. But I tell you, this is in the New International Version, so a little bit different. But I tell you who hear me, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. What kind of nonsense is that? And of course, we don't think it's nonsense. We've been exposed to this, some of us, our entire lives. This portion of Scripture is well known to us, if not in detail, certainly in what the main thrust is. But when we take a step back from that, this is really odd recommendations. Now, most of us don't have to deal with sort of being hated on a regular basis or being cursed or any of those sorts of things. But it's a rare person who makes it through public school without having at least some period of time when they were part of the out-group rather than the in-group. And maybe you're one of those people who this never happened, and that's wonderful. But most people I've talked to, I think everybody I've talked to, has those times when they were younger when they were on the outs. They're bullied or they're just ignored, whatever it might be. And when you put yourself in that place, how easy would it have been for you to bless those people who are making fun of you because of your name, because of how tall or how short you were, how dark or how light? It doesn't matter. These things don't come from any kind of rational basis. They just happen. And suddenly you're a target in a way that you never were before. Put yourself in that place. And that's what Jesus is talking about. That's when you're supposed to love these people. This is when you're supposed to pray for them. It's a lot easier at this stage of life where most of us don't have to face that level of difficulty. But we still have at least some. And we still have this responsibility to reach out to people who are different than us, who don't believe what we do, and who do things that we don't like. Why? Because Jesus told us to. That's the beginning. That might be all it takes for some of us, but it's a critical part of who we are. When we have moved into this relationship with God through Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes into us and starts changing who we are on the inside. We can look at this whole passage of Scripture as some kind of transactional sort of thing, and we can focus in on, then your reward will be great, and you'll be sons and daughters of the Most High. We could focus in on, if we do the right thing, we'll get this good measure. And we'll look at it just as an investment in our own well-being, if you like. But that's not what Jesus is talking about. This is not a quid pro quo where we do something good for a terrible person and God does something good for us. It might look like that sometimes because we look at people who have reached out to terrible people and have been richly blessed by God. But if we're thinking of this in this transactional way, which is really easy for us to do in the culture we're in, we're zeroing in on a couple of pieces of this passage of Scripture, and we're ignoring really most of the rest of it. We do these things because this is the kind of people we have become. And the reward comes because of the kind of people we are, not because of what we do. If we're not careful, if we look at this from the transactional basis, we will find ourselves falling into what amounts to magical thinking, that if we do the right thing, we can somehow force God to do things, which is a very bad place to put yourself, because it doesn't work that way. The rewards that Jesus is talking about here, the rewards that we see all through Scripture, come, yes, because we do things, but they come to us because we are the kind of people who do those things. It's not a cause and effect in the way that we think it is. There's something about generous people that we want to be around. But have you noticed that we like to be around generous people not because of the stuff they give us? We like being around them because they're the kind of people who give things, because they're generous people. And the difficulty with so many of these things is from an external perspective, the two actions look the same. People who give so they will get in return look the same from the outside as people who give because that's the kind of people they are. And so we are the people who need to assess ourselves. Why are we doing this? Are we doing this? Looking at Luke 6, are we doing this because our reward will be great? Because we will get a good measure pressed down? Or are we doing this because Jesus says, do to others as you would have them do to you? The golden rule shows up here. It's one of those things that is so pervasive in our culture, at least the awareness of its existence, that some people don't even know it comes from the Bible. But all of the major religions, particularly the monotheistic ones like ours, all have some variation of this somewhere. Do to other people the way you want them to do to you. There's no talk of reward in that part, is there? And that's the kind of thing that we see in various guises through all of Scripture. It shows up in different ways. But we are frequently called to do to people what is the best for them. Period. Some places, like in Luke, it says, oh, by the way, The kind of people who do this are the kind of people who are rewarded by God. But it's not because of what we do. It's because of why we did it. I've been in services that have been centered around the kinds of things that Presbyterian World Service and Development does, making lives better to people. And the amount of guilt that has come from the front has rolled across us like an avalanche. And I understand why, because it's superficially effective. If somebody can make you feel guilty enough, you will give them money. But what have they actually accomplished? I don't want to dismiss the value that comes from the good that comes from the money that is given, because it frequently goes and does good things. But how much have you been changed? For the better, that is. How much has that part of you that is growing within you that says, to be like Jesus, I need to be a generous person who gives without thinking of how much I'm going to get back. How much of that was helped to grow if guilt was a motivator? Probably not very much. Probably not any at all. It might even move you backwards. Have you ever noticed that Jesus doesn't lead by guilt? That Jesus doesn't make threats? That Jesus doesn't say, if you don't do what I want you to, I won't like you anymore? There's lots of reasons for that. First of all, it's not very effective really in the long term. But really, we're talking about Jesus here. It's because Jesus isn't guilt. Jesus is God. And of all the things that God does, pretty much the only thing that God is in Scripture is love. Scripture tells us God is love. It tells us that God does, you know, provides mercy and gives things. But it says God is love. If we want to become more and more like Jesus, who is God, if we want to be conformed more and more into the image of Jesus, to become more and more the people we were created to be, which is people in relationship with Jesus, we need to step away from this idea that everything's a transaction. We need to move into this idea that we do what we do because we are trying to be as much as possible like God, who is love, who is not someone who keeps a score, who is not someone who waits for you to do something worthwhile to give you something worthwhile back. We want to be the kind of person who does to others as we would have them do to us. And does it first. Because that's what it says. It doesn't say wait for people to do good things for you and do the same thing in return. And it doesn't say do to the others who are probably pretty nice people and will treat you well. It says do to others. That's about as broad as it gets. It divides the world. You know how I dislike the dualist either-or thing. Well, this is an either-or. It's either me or it's everything else. It's either you or it's everyone else. And that's what makes us different. If we want to take seriously what Jesus is talking about in Luke, and we do, and we have, because I've seen this community of faith and the people in it working these kinds of things out, this is where our difference comes from. Not from how much we put into the PWS&D envelope, but because we're the kind of people who look at the PWS&D envelope and say, that's something that we need to consider, and perhaps we'll put an amount of money in it. Might be more than we thought we could, might be something else, I don't know. That's between you and God, that's up to you. But we do it not because of guilt. We do it not because there's somebody checking up on us. And really, we don't do it primarily because we're going to get a reward. In our best senses, and in our best days, and in our best selves, we do it because that's the kind of person we are becoming. More and more like Jesus. Conformed ever more into the image of Jesus, who was generous to the point of giving his life. We can be part of something larger than ourselves, and we always are. And this is one that we can pay attention to and do it on purpose. Presbyterian World Service and Development is a good organization. It's not perfect. I'm sure if we look long enough, we'll find some scandal somewhere. But it is an organization that has been doing good all around the world for a long, long time. And when we partner with them financially, prayer, and support of any kind, we are living out the reality of what it means to be the kind of person who takes Jesus seriously and the things that he talks about in Luke 6. And that's it. That's where our difference comes from. From our interior motivation that says, I want to be more like Jesus. And if a reward comes, well, look at that. But first and foremost, we want to be more like Jesus. We want to be the kind of people who do to others as we would have them do to us. No matter whether we know they will or not, whether they have already or not, because that's the kind of people we want to be. Amen.